Our series this time is called Learn from Jesus, and we've been learning how to do some different things. Last week we talked about what the scripture talks about new birth, about new being a new creation. And how many of you worked on some things this week? How many of you worked on some stuff this week? We always need to reevaluate, see where we're at, and say, "Hey, God, where can I go?" I love the fact that Nicodemus, again, three times we see him in the book of John. The first time we see him, he's asking questions and curious. The second time, he's standing up a little bit for Jesus, even though he's in the background. And the third time, he's taking care of Jesus' body. So you see a question. A curiosity. We see a little bit more into it, and then we see all in at the end, right? How many of you know sometimes that's how people come to us, right? We need to be willing and ready to look for those things. But again, we need to put off the old self, man, and to walk in newness of life according to the scripture. This week, we're going to talk about faith in the storm. And this is the thing about faith, is you can't talk about faith without talking about fear, right? Because most of the time, that's when they're polar opposites, right? One is one extreme, one is the other extreme. How many of you know I want to live on the faith extreme side? Like, I'd rather live extremely that way than any other way in my life, right? I'd rather people look at me like, "That dude's nuts. Why does he believe that?" Watch and see, right? That's what I want to be able to do. So we're going to talk about it. How many of you have ever been terrified, like truly terrified, right? Like in a terrifying experience, or felt like you were in an imminent danger or something like that, whether it was a wreck or something. I remember when I was a kid, my mom felt danger and I didn't. How many of you know kids kind of just blow things over? So we lived in Beckley, West Virginia, right? And we had some neighbors, and their son robbed a bank. And our neighbors were out of town, so the son said, "Let me go hide out in my mom and dad's basement," right? So he went there. Well, the police found out, and they came to our house, and they surrounded our house and his house, and they started having a shootout, and there were bullet holes in our deck and different things like that. It was crazy. I was a little kid. Probably, we moved here when I was five, so I was between two and five, somewhere around in there, and I wanted a popsicle. So we were in the back opposite corner of the house, all laying down on the floor, and the police were in the kitchen, and they were shooting, and the popsicles were in the kitchen because that's where the freezer is, right? And I'm like, "Ma, please go get me a popsicle." She says, "No, I'm not getting you a popsicle." I said, "Please, Ma, you can do it. You can do it." And she said, "No, I can't do it. I'm not going. Look, you just crawl in. I seen it on a TV show, Ma. Just crawl in there on your belly and just reach up like that and get a popsicle out and then bring it back." She understood the danger, right? Her fear was real at that moment. How many of you know sometimes we have some fear and we're just like, it's warranted. There's a guy in the scripture, if you look in, so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to hop around from a couple of different stories in the scripture, some Old Testament, some New Testament, and I'm going to show you some different ways and some different places, but we're going to talk about having faith in the middle of craziness and why it's important that we have God in our lives. Okay, you ready? The first one is what I'm going to show you. If you look in the book of Esther, right, we're not going to go there. I'm going to give it to you. You can go back and read it. It's not a very long book. But in Esther chapter 7, this is what happened. Let me give some background. There was a man named Mordecai, and he was Esther's uncle, right? And the king liked Esther, and she became a queen. He promoted this guy named Haman, who was a very bad man. And I'm a Bible nerd for you for just a minute, right? If you look back into the back of it, what ends up happening is he was a son. He was from the line. He was an Agagite is what it says at the beginning. You're like, "What is that?" That is from the lineage of King Agag. If you look back into the kings, I think it's 2 Kings, maybe 1 Kings, one of the kings. Y'all with me, right? One of those kings. Just read all of it and you'll know. Saul was supposed to do away with the Amalekites, which is what King Agag was, right? And because of that, he didn't do away with it. And how many of you know, when you don't deal with the problem the way you're supposed to here, you end up suffering for it here, right? So anyway, Haman ends up getting brought up to the top, and the king says, "Hey, you have to bow. Whenever he walks through the gate, you have to bow, and you have to give him honor," and all these things. And Mordecai says, "Man, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it." Now, reasons why it doesn't give us, I know in the book of Daniel didn't bow down to anyone because you're supposed to honor God and bow to God and no one else and nothing else, no idols, and that people as well, right? And so he says, "I'm not going to do it." And so Haman says, "Look, I'm not only going to hurt you, I'm going to hurt your entire family. I'm going to do away with the Jews completely," right? And he was setting into motion a plan to do it. And so they found out about it. They went to it. And if you look, again, Esther didn't want to go to the king at first because she's like, he could kill me if I come in. And he's not, it ain't like today. It wasn't like one king and one queen. There was like a bunch of queens and then a king. And if she came into his presence and he didn't want her there, he could kill her. You know, that kind of thing. It was like difficult. It was back then. Okay, it's different now. But she was scared to go there, right? And her uncle, this is where we get this saying, for such a time as this. Maybe you were designed for this specific moment in time. Maybe this is why God puts you where he puts you. Do you know that God puts you in places to use you for specific things? And there's some stuff that he designed specifically for you to do. Now, if you don't do it, will other people do it? He says the rocks will cry out if we don't praise him, right? So he can make things come to pass, but he wants to use us to do it. And he's created us to do some amazing things. Long story short, even though it's too late, she went to the king and said, hey, this is what's happening. He's like, I love you. You're amazing. What do you want me to give you? Up to half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. And he says, I want you to get rid of a bad man. This is what he's doing. This is what he's doing. This is what he's doing. She's like, who is that? Like, it's him. That's Toby translation, but she's like, it's him. He's an evil guy. It's him. And what ended up happening at that moment, fear terrified Haman. It says that in Esther 7 verse 6, it says, so Haman was terrified before the king and queen. How many of you know sometimes we're in situations that we're fearful of because we put ourselves there, right? And the one thing that we see in this situation that he had no hope. He had no hope in that situation. Why? Because he was against God's people. He was against what God was doing. And because of that, in that moment, in the midst of his fear, he had nothing to hold on to. One of the things I love about being a Christ follower, I love about being a child of God, is that when I'm in the middle of a storm, I got something to hold on to the whole time. I got something to hold on to the whole time. And if you will give your life to him, he'll do the same thing for you. Amen? So sometimes we face fear because it's our own doing and we've just done dumb things. We need to turn to God, okay? Sometimes we're in certain situations that make us fearful because it's what God is doing in our life. So we had a conversation after Bible study on Wednesday morning. We did it, and then we kind of switched gears and just went squirrel chasing, and we got a lot of them. But anyway, we were talking about, does God put things on you so you can handle, so you can, you know, and it was like, does he put stumbling blocks in your way? Well, the Bible says he doesn't tempt you, or he doesn't test man, right? And then that we're tempted when we're drawn out by our own lusts and desires. And so we started looking at different things. And so sometimes he puts us in some situations that we have to use what he's already taught us. Right? Okay, I'm going to say that again because that was really good and y'all didn't get it. So he puts us in situations so we can use it, right? And so this is what we're going to look at today. Some of the things we're going to learn from Jesus about how to react in a storm. What we're supposed to do. How many of you know there's things we're supposed to do? There's ways that we're supposed to act as Christians. There's principles and characteristics that are supposed to be a part of our life as Christ followers. And sometimes in the middle of situations, it all goes out the window. Right? I'm going to talk to you guys, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. I'm going to read it real quick, this little section to you, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to give you some points out of it. So, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Now, being with me, have you not gained faith? Do you not know that you're going to be all right because I'm here? Do you not know that? Do you not understand that? Do you not know because you're with me, you are, and for us, a child of God, that you can do the things that I do and greater, right? That's what he says before he goes up. He's like, everything that I've done, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it better than I did it. You're going to do greater miracles than the things that I did. We start looking at things and say, well, I'm not him. I can't do it. Look, he's inside of us. We can do it. I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna go back. I'm excited about that point. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So I'm going to give you some powerful truths about this little story. And we're going to look about some other different things. And one of the things that I want you to imagine or want you to see today is that fear, first one in your notes, is that fear changes your perspective. Fear changes your perspective. And as you guys know, God's been dealing with me a lot about perspective, and I've been preaching a lot about perspective and how we see him and how we see ourselves and how we see what he's doing and looking at the same situation with a different spin on it. How many of you know we can see the same situation? I can get one thing, Nick can get another, right? Even though just because we're different, right? Let me tell you this, with the frame of mind that I'm going into a situation, it will determine the perspective that I have on the situation. So if I go in with fear, I'm going to be fearful. If I go in faith, I'm going to have faith. If I go in anger, it's going to be an angry outcome, right? If I go into the situation saying, I know it's going to be bad, but I'm going to find God in the middle of the situation, guess what? You're going to find God in the middle of the situation, even in the bad, right? So our perspective, it changes because of the fear that comes inside of us. So the disciples are with him. The wind starts coming. The waves start coming under the boat. And they're like, hey, Jesus, did you forget about us? Hey, we're here. And he said, man, you should be taking care of this stuff. Why are you not taking care of it? Do you know that God has given us everything that we need to take care of the situations that he's given us? His word says it. His word says it. So if you're in a situation like, I don't have what I need, you need to pray and say, God, you've already given it to me. Show me what it is. Show me what it is. So it's filling up. And this is what ends up happening with fear. He says, why are you so fearful? Fear takes our focus off of where it should be and concentrates it on the circumstances. Right? Our faith should be placed in Christ and us walking in God and what he has for us, not the issues that's coming to us. You know what our thought process should be? Should be, God, how are you going to handle this one? Like, right? How are you going to handle it? And what do I need to do, right? Because it's coming, and I know you're going to take care of it. We've seen time and time and time again, bad things happen, and amazing things come out of it. So, right, I'm gonna talk to you guys for a second. This is, I go and eat at Combat Cafe, right down the road. And they were down here, if y'all remember, by Publix. And something happened, and they ended up having to move. It's kind of like it did with my house. The guy said he wants to sell it, wants to do something different. And he put them, and they were like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? They found down where the quarter deck used to be, and now they're there. And do you know what? How much more amazing that place is than down here is? How many more people, how much more access, how more available it is to get in and out of that place. The benefits of that place are amazing. And I was talking with the man who owns it. He's ex-military and him and his wife, and they run it. And that's what, anyway, we're talking about it. And it was an amazing time to say, look what God did for you. Even in the middle of that bad time, he had a plan, he had a purpose, and he brought you through it and brought you to here, even though you didn't see it there. We need to understand that in the middle of our storm, even if it's crazy, even if it's rough, don't concentrate on the circumstances. Look to God in the middle of it. Look to Jesus in the middle of it and allow everything to change. We allow our perspective, what we see of things, to completely take us away from what God has for our lives. That's why the enemy tries to use it. I mean, you know, again, there's a good fear and a bad fear, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Fear is another one of those things that I like to say about it's what you do with it, not that it's there, right? Fear is a good thing. It keeps me from getting in a head-on collision on the road, right? It keeps me from doing this. It keeps me from falling off the side of a mountain because I ain't going close. I'm going to be back here, right? Fear does good things to us. But also it controls us and keeps us away from God. And I'm going to show you an example. If you, in Numbers 13, 32 through 33, so the Israelites are coming, and they're coming to the promised land, and they're supposed to be there. Remember, 12 days to get to a location, 40 years later, they make it. Why? Because of fear. 11, 12 days in a journey, 40 years. You know what? If I go on a trip and it's like I'm going to Louisiana and like in the beginning of March for like 14 days or like somewhere around in there, 13, 12, 13 days. When I go there, if it takes me 40 years to get back, something's wrong. You know what I mean? It's a 10-hour trip. If I ain't back in a week and a half, y'all call. Be like, hey, are you okay? Where are you at? Right? So they're going out, they're traveling, and they're getting to where God has promised them, right? And it says this, it says, and so, Numbers 13, 32, and 33, says, so they brought the people of Israel a bad report of the land. They sent spies out, they said, hey, go check it out, make sure it's everything God said it was. How many of you know something? If God said that's what it's going to be, I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be. Like, when I say pretty sure, I'm like 100%, like 90% sure that's exactly what it's going to be if God said it, right? Because he doesn't lie. He doesn't trick us. He doesn't put us in that kind of a mess, right? So they go there. They spy it out. And it says, the land through which we have gone to spy out is the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw are of great height. And we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we were to them. I'm incapable of doing it. So you know what? When I stand up against something hard, you know what it's going to say about me? You're incapable of doing it. They were able to take the land because God had given it to them. He said, go, go. Their fear kept them from the promises of God. Their fear to step out and to do what they're supposed to do kept them from what God said. Now, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to say something in a minute. I think I'm going to come back. Fear, this is one of the things. Fear took the power that God had given them, and they gave it away, and it made them weak. The fear made them weak. You know, they had the power to go at any time until the point came where he said, you know what, because of this, the whole generation is going to pass away in the desert before we get there. None of y'all are going to step on except Joshua and Caleb. Do you know why Joshua and Caleb were able to step into it? Because they had faith and said, let's do it. God said it, let's do it. You know what? You need to look at your situation and said, this is, but see, now, here's the kicker. Y'all ready for the kicker? There's always something, right? If God hasn't said it, don't put it in his mouth. Don't have an idea and say, thus saith the Lord. God, this is what I'm doing. I want you to bless it, okay? Tell them it's what it is. That's what happened to Saul. And why he was rejected as king. Let's just sweep it under the rug for right now. And then later on, we'll make everything right, God, right? No. If God said it, it's a green light. Go. Do it. That's why we need to be speaking to everyone about Jesus, right? We've all been given a ministry of reconciliation. He's given it to each and every one of us. So why are we hesitant about doing it? Fear. Fear instead of faith. If they reject you on something, if they reject what you're bringing to them, doesn't mean they reject you. It means they're rejecting God. And I want to pray for them even more now, right? Because that's a crazy place to be, a not good place to be. But this is what happened. He's given us the power, the ability to walk and to do and to do amazing things according to his word. Again, one of the reasons why we don't do it is because we don't know what's in there, because we don't know his word. We don't know what he said to us. You want to like, well, what did God tell me to go do? Get in the Bible and read it, and you'll see. It'll become clear to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. That's what the word says. And then he'll give you power to be able to go do it. The disciples were so fearful. Going back to the disciples. They were so fearful at this point. It's like, don't you even care about me, Jesus? That's a dumb question, right? How many of you ever asked dumb questions in the middle of crazy stuff? Like, this is the thing. Jesus cared more about us than he cared about himself. He cared more about me and you than he cared about himself. And to ask that question, say, don't you even care about me? Aren't you even worried about it? But fear takes away all of our rationality. Right? It makes us think irrationally. It makes us think in ways that we never should be thinking. Why? Because we're afraid. We need to allow that to go away. It doesn't matter. The fear, and this is the thing. This is one of the situations that we get into. It doesn't have to be an extreme fear for it to take away God's plan. It can be a small fear that you just allow to take root in your life and it grows. and it grows. Like, it doesn't have to be standing back on a cliff. You know, it doesn't have to be standing in front of a king knowing that you're about to be executed, right? Like Haman. It doesn't take that kind of a fear. It's any kind of fear that can rob you. Every fear that we allow to take hold in our life in a bad way, right? In an ungodly way, takes the power of the impact that we have in our life and the direction that we're going to go. Because our fear ends up sending us in different directions. Instead of going forward, it makes us wander for 40 years. Makes us wander for 40 years. Number two, fear is the opposite of faith. Why are you so faithful or fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? Fear and faith are completely, again, as I said earlier, opposite. We have to choose which one we're going to live by. We have to choose. You can't do both. Can't be fearful and faithful. So, look, I'm just going to squirrel for a minute. We've been going to SeaWorld, and they have this ride at SeaWorld, and it's amazing, right? It is the scaredest I have ever been in my entire life, and the most happy I've been at the same time while I was just afraid, right? It's got this little tiny thing that just goes right here. It don't have no straps, and this roller coaster is 76 miles an hour, and it drops like 200-something feet, and it's just, you're whipping over the top of it, and you're coming out the chair, and this little thing's holding you, and you're like, oh, I'm about to die. Oh, this is great. Oh, I'm about to die. So, anyway, I like that, right? It's not really the smartest thing in the world, but it's fun, right? Now, I've only been on it once. I got to go again. Maybe I'll do it next time I go. But it's one of those things that our fear is a good thing, right? It's good to have fear. I don't want to fall this far. I don't really want to go this fast with nothing in front of me, right? But it's fun, right? That's the one thing. Sometimes going in the wrong direction is fun. I'm just going to be real. Sometimes going in the wrong direction is fun. Anyway, so we're going to come back, and you have to choose one. We're going to go and look at Saul and David real quick, all right? Back in 1 Samuel. So in 1 Samuel, we see Saul, and they are about to do battle with the Philistines. There's Goliath, their champion, comes out and challenges them. And this is what ends up happening. The men of God that are mighty warriors end up hiding behind the bushes and the rocks because of fear. Now, did God not say, hey, go do this, and I'm going to be with you? Yup. But when big stuff comes in front of us, we're like, God, I ain't so sure that was you. Like, are you serious about this one, God, or were you just testing me right now? Remember, God don't test people. So put that one out. When big stuff comes, David was much younger than Saul, and this is what ended up happening in Saul. Saul was robbed of a great victory that should have been his as king because he was afraid, and it rooted him and it hit him, and he said, I ain't doing it. Do you know that would have been his place to go out as champion, as king? Hey, I'm going to go out and take care of this guy. You're the king. Go do it. David comes. He's much younger, much less experienced in the art of war, far less equipped. But this is the one thing that he has. He has the ability to look back. So sometimes looking back is good. Not living there, but looking back as a reference point is good. He has the ability to look back and say, hey, there was a bear that came and God delivered me from it. There was a lion that came and he delivered me from it. This is going to be no different because look what he's already done. Right? 1 Samuel 17:26, and David said to them, by what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Fear makes us forget who we are. It makes us forget that we're children of God. It makes us forget that we belong to him and that he's going to take care of us. It makes us forget the word of God that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Fear makes us forget who we are. We lose that. It makes us forget the testimony that we have. Again, most powerful gift we have is overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It makes us forget what he's done in the past. We start looking at the circumstances and forget everything. Chicken with our head cut off, right? I ain't got a brain just running everywhere trying to fix something. Y'all ever seen that? It's crazy. Anyway, he's saying, don't you guys know who we are? Why are we hiding in the bushes? We should be going out there. Send me, I'll go. They're like, no, you don't want to go. He's big and got a sword. And here, take my big sword. He's like, no, I don't know none of that. That's the next thing that we try to do. We try to use weapons that we don't have any access to or reason using it. Do you know what ends up happening with the seven sons of Sceva? This guy goes in. He wants to be big. He's like, hey, I cast you out in the name of the God who they preach of. And he's like, well, I know him, and I know him. I know Jesus, but I don't know you. You're using a weapon you ain't got no access to. Something you ain't got no business doing. Stick with what you know. God's given you everything that you need. David said, man, I got this slingshot, and it carried me before. It's going to carry me now. God's going to come. He's going to take care of the situation no matter how big or stupid it looks. I'm going. And he went out and he did it. Why? Because he said, I'm going to have faith in God, not the circumstances. I'm going to allow God to show me what he wants to do and how he wants to handle the situation by using me and the talents and the abilities that he's given me, not run in fear because I'm worried for myself. And because of that, God did a great victory in his life and changed the rest of his life from that moment on. You want your life to change? Start doing some stuff for God. Watch him change some things. David said this. He didn't say this, but this is what the Bible says, and it goes along with what's going on. This is Paul talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You got some issues in your mind? Let's go to God. Allow his spirit to change everything. Right? He's put it inside of us. Scripture says, Jesus said, I have to go away so he can come. And when he comes, he's going to dwell inside of you. He's going to give you power. He's going to give you the ability to do everything that I've called you to do. We need to do it. Then we also see this. There's one kind of fear that is actually essential for us to have as a Christian, as a Christ follower. And I'm going to read. Well, again, Mark, I'm going to read 39 through 41. It says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And then this is it. It says, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Before they were afraid. Now they were exceedingly afraid. They were really afraid because look at the power that he has. This man, Jesus, look what he can do. Do you know what? He can do some amazing things. And the crazy thing is that his power, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. He says, what I do and greater will you do. Do you know what that means? That means in the middle of our situation, we have the authority and the power to say, stop, this is not going to happen anymore. Amen. We have the ability to say, stop, you're not going to put these things in my mind, and I'm not going to live by them anymore. Amen. We have the ability to do that instead of run back and say, I'm all alone, God, where are you at? How come you're not here? He's like, I'm here, I'm in you. The same power that conquered the grave lives in me and you. There's a fear that we have to have and understand. It's a reverence, not a I'm scared to death. They came to the realization that the man snoozing in the back of the boat was no ordinary man, and that they were with Jesus. Look, I'm going to tell you, even if I'm with Jesus and I'm them, I'm scared at this moment myself. Like, I'm not belittling them because they're scared. How many of you know, that's a crazy reaction. If I'm standing next to Dwayne and Dwayne's like, peace, be still, wind, and it stops, I'm going to be like, hi, Dwayne, how you doing? Like, can you teach me that? Right? No. Right? It's God that did it, not Dwayne. The power that's there. They understood. They understood they should be afraid of the person more so than the power behind the storm. You know, one of the things that I get asked several times as a pastor is, why are we supposed to fear God? Like, why do we fear God? Why are we supposed to be afraid of God? Like, I'm going to be real. My dad, Y'all, some of y'all haven't met him, man. He's amazing. He's the most godly man that I know, right? And if you get around him, you'll understand. You get to hear him and talk to him and be with him. You'll understand what I'm saying. And the cool thing was, as I got to see, is that he was the same guy here as he was outside. And that's one of the things that I strive and try to be like, because I don't want to be different here. I don't want to be really holy here and then be something else outside. I want to try and be the same person, whether I'm here or there or whatever I'm doing. And that's one of the things that we should strive for as Christians. Amen? That's one of the things we should strive for as Christians. But do you know, as a kid, there were times when I was afraid of my father. Do you know, I knew my father loved me. I knew my father cared about me. I knew he had my best interests and would do everything for me that he could. But there was some time, like when I had to sit in my room, like, wait till your father get home. I'm about to die, y'all. He's going to kill me. Like, I'm still here. But I was definitely afraid. When he walked in the door, I was so scared I'd be shaking. Right. But you know, as a respect and an honor for my father, and honoring my father, you know, I still should have that respect for my father and that honor for my father. So why should we fear God? I'm going to explain it to you. Jesus says in Luke 12, 4 through 5, he says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body and after have nothing more that they can do. But I warn you to fear him who after he is killed has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. It makes sense, doesn't it? You know what? I'll be real with y'all. I don't care what they do with my body when I die. I'm just going to be real. Like, I donated it to science or something. If there's anything that's any good left, they can use it. And look, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to tell y'all from here, because I told my wife what I wanted to happen at my funeral. And I'm like, just buying the cheapest pine box you can get and then put me in the middle. And then I want to have a taco bar on this side and a pizza bar on this side and some music coming while y'all are celebrating me being in heaven. That's what I want to have happen. And I told my wife that, and she says, no, I will not. They'll all be like, she's celebrating because he's gone. I'm like, no. I'll tell everybody. That's what I want. I want to have a good time, because you know what? I'm in heaven and I'm with him and I'm having a lot better time than y'all down here, right? So I love tacos and I love pizza and I like a good music every now and then. You know what I'm saying? So, but when I die, I don't care what happens to me here, because I'm going to be there. But when I go there, I don't want to sit in front of him and be like, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm afraid sometimes that that's going to happen. I shouldn't be. It's fear that's in my heart, my life, that shouldn't be. I'm a child of God. But you know what? Sometimes I let that fear get me. And I say, man, what's going to happen? I want to do everything I can. Not that he loves me, because I know he loves me already. And this is the thing about fear. We know the answer already, but because of the fear, we're unable to see it. We're unable to walk in it. There's a fear that we should have. Fear is not always bad. I'm going to give you some scriptures. They're written down. I'm going to go through them really, really quick, and you can look them up in your notes later. Again, that's why I give you these, so you can go home and research them and look at them. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You ever wonder why some of the smartest people make the dumbest decisions? I'm just going to be real. Often it's because they don't have a fear of God. If you look at all the lives and the things and the impact that people's lives have, and the ones that are making decisions, you can tell whether they have a fear of God in their life or whether they don't care. You can see it. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. When I fear the Lord and I understand what he's capable of and what he can do, that respect, that reverence is there in any situation, I can have comfort knowing that he's here with me and I ain't got to worry about it. I like the Lion King, y'all. There's a little thing where the little one comes up and these hyenas are around. I mean, this is the way I remember it. It might be a little different in the movie, but It's my story, so let me tell it. So he's standing there, and the hyenas come around, and he starts rah, like that. And then all of a sudden, the big king comes back behind him, and the little one don't know he's there. And he's like, rah, and all the dudes turn around and run away. He's like, man, look how crazy that was. Look, they weren't scared of him. They were scared of him. You know what? I don't need my situation to be scared of me. I need them to be scared of my God who's standing with me, who's there and going to be there always. Look, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Proverbs 22:4 says the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. There's a good kind of fear that we have. And I'm going to tell you what, in every situation where there's fear, there's a solution. Y'all ready for the solution? I'm going to give it to you so you'll have it. So next time fear comes, you'll have it. It's always Jesus. It's always what he's done. It's always the power that he's given to us. Who did they go to in the middle of the storm? Mark 4, 38 and 39, it says, but he was in the stern, sleeping, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he woke up, rebuked this wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus is always the solution to everything that you need, that you have need of. He's the healer. If you need deliverance from fear, depression, addiction, anger, lust, resentment, Jesus is the deliverer. If you need to be reconciled to the Father, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. You need peace, joy, love, forgiveness, help, confidence, strength? Jesus. You need a brand new start? Like I've jacked it up so far, I got to start over. You know where you start? Jesus. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can do it. He's always the solution. And this is one of the things that I'm going to talk to you about faith right now, fear and faith. And the danger of the things that I've been saying about God taking care of your battles and fighting your battles and doing everything for you. Faith does not mean inaction in your situation. That's the fourth thing in your notes. When David saw Goliath, he didn't say, okay, God, just do your thing. God, take care of him. He said, no, 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 I'm going to use what you've given me, God, and I'm going to go out because I know you're with me and I know that you're going to guide it and I know that you're going to take care of it. You're going to do this, but you're going to use me to do it. Right? It doesn't mean inaction. So in the book of Joshua, the Israelites are walking onto the promised land. So they're about to finally get into the promised land that God's given them. And the Jordan is in between them and the promised land, right? The river. So from the research that was there, this is in the springtime where the spring flood would come through. And this is what ended up happening. Have you ever seen like on the Discovery Channel or whatever, when they're in the desert and the flood waters come and how crazy rapid it comes through and rises up and it's running fast and crazy and it's wide and it's hard to get through. This is what they're facing right now going to the Jordan River, right? They're walking up to it. And it says at this point from where they were at, it gets anywhere from 100 feet wide and about 10 feet deep. Now, 10 feet doesn't seem like it's all that deep unless it's moving really, really fast. And then 2 foot of water is deep if it's running really, really fast. If you've ever been to a rapids or a thing like that, you can understand it's dangerous even though it's little. And this is what happens. The Jordan is in between them and the promised land. And God said, go, put the priests in front with the ark, right, with my presence. And when they step foot into the water will be held back and you'll go across on dry land. Sounds really cool, huh? I like to see it. I think it's really neat. I saw this cartoon the other day, and it was two guys, and they were all in their robes, and they had their things out there, and one of them was fishing, and then the water split where the other guy's bait was. He's like, quit it, Moses, right? Because he split the sea. Never mind. Anyway, I thought it was funny. So this is a small thing in life that amused me. I'm sorry, y'all. Joshua 3, 13 through 16. And this is what happens. It says, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. So they have to put their foot down in the water, right, of the Jordan. And it shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as Jordan, the Jordan, the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped into the brink of the water. Now, the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. This is where we get springtime, flood, craziness, right? And it says, the waters coming down from above in the river rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, and the city that was beside Zarethan, and those flowing downward towards the Sea of Arabath and the Salt Sea were completely cut off, and the people were able to pass over. Think this thought. When you look at, see, that doesn't make a lot of sense to us until we know like the geography of the land, right? Where the water was cut off was 3 to 11 miles upriver from where they stepped their foot in the first time. Have you ever seen a water get cut off in a stream? What happens to the rest of it? There's a gap, and it takes a little while to get from here to over there, right? Think this thought. When they first stepped their foot into the water stopped 3 miles up the road and it was coming down slowly. What was in their mind while they were waiting for that to happen? Think that thought. God, I stepped out. You said it was just going to part. You didn't say it was going to part 3 miles up. You said it was going to part. And this is what, but what ended up happening? They just kept going. They just kept going. And they just kept going as the water began to go down and down and down until they were walking across on solid ground. But what ended up, what had to happen before they could get on that solid ground? They had to put their foot in the water. They had to take that step. The faith had an action that had to come with it. So if they would have stood back and say, all right, God, I'm waiting for you to part the sea, it never would have happened. It never would have happened. What time we got? I got time. It never would have happened, right? But the faith, the action, the stepping out, same thing with Peter in the boat, right? The faith was stepping out of the boat. The faith came when the action was behind it. Faith without works is dead. I can have all the faith in the world, sit back here, ain't nothing gonna happen. God's called us to do things. It's not sit back and wait on God to do everything. Again, we see that it was 3 miles. I'm not going to. You imagine some dude standing at Adam and it start building up in a wall, and he's like, like that. And then go home, like, babe, you saw what I said? She's like, you got to stop hanging out with your friends. You're going crazy, right? That didn't happen. 40 years they'd wandered and waited for the moment to get into the promised land. Again, faith had to say, I'm not going to be afraid and I'm going to go. God said it. I'm going to do it. 40 years earlier, God had said it, and they didn't do it. So they spent 40 years. Man, don't wander around waiting for God to do something because you don't want to act. Start. Make a step. Make a step. Make a step. They put their feet in the water. Joshua was like, God, now would be a good time for you to do what you said, right? How many times were we in that situation? Waiting for that water to come down. Again, faith isn't praying and standing back and waiting for God to do something. He expects us to move too. I knew a family. How many of you are looking for work? Looking for a job? You need to have faith in God to do something, change something, move something, do something. Sitting at home waiting for God to have somebody call you on the phone is wrong. You know what you got to do? You got to go put an application over here. You got to go put an application over here. You got to talk to people. You got to be out there. You got to do your part. Reminds me, look, y'all, I ain't advocating this, but it reminds me of the joke that I heard about the guy praying to God for him to win the lottery. Y'all heard about it? He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and week after week he didn't win, he didn't win, he didn't win. And he's like, God, what are you doing? He's like, man, help me out, buy a ticket. Like, do your part. You don't buy a ticket, you can't ever win. Now, I'm not telling y'all to go buy a ticket. I'm showing you the principle, right? I'm showing you the principle of if you don't do what you're part of it, it's not faith. Not faith. I don't know if the disciples, when they woke Jesus up saying, hey, we're going to die. What you going to do? Jesus is going to let us perish. Like, what were they expecting him to say? Like, what were they expecting him to, like, oh, no, we're all going to die, right? Is that what they were looking to Jesus for? Or I don't know. He wanted him to come and be a part of their misery. But what ends up happening is he stands up and he says this. He fixes it, and then he looks at them and he says, where is your faith? Why you didn't do this? Why you came and got me? Oh, you have little faith. Why didn't you fix it? Mark 11, 23. No, Mark 11, yeah, 23 and 24 says, truly I say, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, for it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, I'm going to tell you the crazy side about that part, right? I can pray for all kind of stuff, and it not have come from God, and he's not going to answer it. God, let me win the lottery, right? If his word says that, he's going to do it. Problem is we want, again, like I said earlier, we want to tell him our thing and make him put his blessing stamp on it, right? His stamp of approval. Like, oh, okay, well, I guess you've been good this week. I'll give it to you, Jimmy, right? No, that's not the way it works. It's when we step out in what he's called us to do, when we go and do what he's asked us for. Hey, I want you to do this. Okay, I have everything I need to go do it. Hey, God, I'm going to go do this right now, okay? I'll be back in a minute. You probably ain't going to happen. Just going to be real. Probably ain't going to happen. This is one of the cool things, I think, about this story. So when I was talking to people about talking about faith in the storm, do you know immediately where everybody went to? Peter and stepping out of the boat. I wasn't even going to mention Peter and him stepping out of the boat until this morning. I came and I had to go to Aaron's house and get in the tent. I got out your car, Christy. Sorry, you were asleep. Anyway, I got it. I put it up. And while I was over there and on the way back, I started thinking about something. I thought, you know how God just shares something with you, shares something with you, and shares something with you? I noticed something I'd never, ever seen before. And I guarantee you, probably most of you guys haven't seen it. Maybe some of you have, but this that we're reading out of comes out of Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And he wakes up and says, why didn't you take care of it? Why didn't you handle it? You could have done it, right? Our conversation Wednesday about does God put us in places that we can, that we are tempted, or that we have stumbling blocks, or that things are coming in front of us. Does he put us in situations where we have to react in a certain way, and what are we going to do? Does he do it? Let me explain to you. I say, yes, he does. Now, he doesn't tempt us, but he allows us to be in places that we can use what he's already given us. Case in point, Jesus in chapter 4 is with them in the back of the boat sleeping. In chapter 6 of Mark, he goes up to the mountain to pray, and he sends his disciples out on a boat all by themselves. Have you ever wondered why he didn't go with them? Because he was giving them an opportunity to do what he had already told them they could handle. You can handle it. Why didn't you handle it? Here, go out now. And then the storm came up. And then what did he have to do? He said, man, I got to take care of y'all. Let me walk out here on the water and get y'all, because y'all just ain't going to do what you're supposed to do. Right? You're not using what I've taught you already. Remember what I talked about. Knowledge without obedience is nothing. He's taught us these things. He's brought us through these storms here and showed us how to do it, so that when we're here and we think we're by ourselves, look, you're never by yourself. He's always there, coming to you in the middle of it, right? When we think we're by ourselves, we should be able to handle it, because he showed us how. Peace. Be still. You can't do this. In the name of Jesus, stop. He's given us that authority and that ability. Let's use it. Let's use it. Let's put the word of God into our hearts. As David said, so I might not sin against you, so that I'm in the right spot. Let's walk by the Spirit, so that every place we know that we're in God's will. We know that we're in God's will. We haven't gone off the left field to do something we wanted to do all by ourselves and left what God had for us. We're right where he wants us at. And then anything that comes up to us, we can handle, because he's given it to us. Amen? Listen. Faith in the middle of the storm is as simple as turning to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. Help me. And when we having trouble believing, do exactly what the man said when his son was there. And he said, all things are possible, only believe. He said, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my areas that I'm falling down, because I'm starting to see these waves, Jesus, and they're not good. But Jesus, did you see the waves? He's like, but did you see I'm here? right? Like you see, I'm with you, right? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's crazy how you do something. All right, and then I'm going to quit. I'm going to tell you this little thing because it just came into my head, and that's how I do stuff. It's crazy when you have a little kid, like Sydney and Shelby when they were little, and we would walk towards something that they were starting to get scared of, and they'd be holding on to my hand, and as they were getting closer, they'd be looking up like, is this okay, Dad? Dad, is this okay? Is this all right? Do you know that's how we should be in our life when we're going through a storm or a situation? We should be turning around to look at him and say, hey, you're here with me, right? You got this, right? I understand you. Give me what I need. Help me see what I need to have, right? Jesus, help me. That's how we need to live our lives in the middle of a storm. That's how we have faith in it, is to hold on to him and what he's done and remember who we are. In the middle of our storm, in the middle of our situation, that I am a child of God, and that he's placed in this word, he's given me power and authority to be able to handle anything that comes my way. Anything. So, guys, come on back up. I'm gonna tell y'all something. Y'all ready? Now you have the knowledge of how to handle your storm. Now is your turn to be obedient in the midst of your storm. Now it's your turn to take this knowledge and to apply it when you're going through a difficult time, when things seem to be falling apart, when you can't function under it, looking. Now you know how to handle it. Now it's your turn to handle it when it comes. You know the bad thing about praying, God, help me handle situations better? You get more situations to help handle. Give me patience, God. He's going to put some craziness in your life that you're going to have to be patient. Like the lady at Publix with 72 items in a 10 item. Y'all remember that? Anyway, I'm still struggling with that one, right? God has given us everything we need, man. Let's thank him for it. Let's use it. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? One of the first things that I started out this service with was about the story about Haman when he didn't have God in his corner and the fear that he had. I don't know where you're at in your walk with him, but today I'm going to tell you what. Jesus died for you. He died so that you could have freedom, that you could have deliverance, that the Holy Spirit could live inside of you and lead you and guide you so that you could be one of God's children. And this is, it's really hard to get it, y'all. All you have to do is say, Jesus, accept it. Thank you for what you've done for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Like, I don't have to jump through hoops or turn around 6 times and say, Jesus loves me. No. It's as simple as saying, I need help. You paid for it. I accept it. Today, you need to accept it. You need Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Not just the Lord, not just a get out of hell free card, but you need him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. You put your hand up and say, man, I need that in my life today. I need that. Just put it up, put it back down. I need that. Thank you. Hands all over. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want you guys to repeat after me. It's not these words. They're not magical. It's not a script. It's us saying, God, help me, together as a group. Say,
Dear Heavenly Father,
sorry for my sins.
Things
I've done that aren't pleasing to you.
Help me change.
Help me be who you created me to be. I accept the gift of your Son.
Thank you
for loving me, for creating me for a purpose, and for now helping me walk in it. I love you. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one more thing. You got something you're battling with right now, and the wind and the waves are overtaking you, and you're living in fear, and you're done with fear this morning. You're saying, I'm over this. I want you to just put your hand up. I'm over the fear. I ain't walking in fear no more. Just put your hand up. Dear Heavenly Father, as our hands are raised, man, you see them. You see our hearts. You know the situations that we're going through. You know what we're battling, and you also know that you're standing right there with us, waiting on us to look and find you in the middle of the situation. And not take our eyes off you through the storm. Not to look at the wind and the waves and to begin to sink, but to look to you and allow you to lift us up and to bring us back to the boat and to get us to safety. You're the one that does it.
Thank you, Jesus.
We look to you to do it now in our situation. I ask that you would help our hearts and our minds to the fear to be gone. When the voice of the enemy comes and says, hey, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know how you messed up? God doesn't care about you. Allow us to see, but through those lies, and see them for exactly what they are, lies, knowing that you love the world enough that you sent your only Son so that we could have forgiveness, so that we would not perish but have everlasting life in you, here and after, Father God, when we come and stand before you. I ask that you'd help us now and let us rejoice as we go out these doors. Give us opportunities to share your love, grace, and mercy, and to speak to people and to allow them to see that, God, you sent your Son for them as well, and that we're going to welcome him into the family and allow change to happen in them just as it happens in us, and us to be able to help when you lead us and guide us and direct us, Jesus, to do so. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, you're going to stand to your feet, and we're going to, what song are we singing?
Turn Your Eyes on Jesus.
Turn Your Eyes, look.
Fingerprints, brother. I picked it out weeks ago.
Just how it happens. Let's stand up and sing. That's great. Oh, so.